Our problem is, how can we do it all in a little hour and a half? That's it.
Hello? Yeah.
It is on. Okay, so you want to attach that to me? How do you want to work? I'll leave this open. I left the heat on. I think it's nice. Okay. And the tapes are working?
All right,
we have another, we have to wait another minute and a half.
I think Chacham made a mistake when they said that the world was waiting and totally on Vav Sivan. I think the world is really totally on today. I think
Jelen,
Bria is just waiting for this moment.
Don't overstate the influence of Aaron Rakethet. It's very, very limited. But okay, I've done a little good in my life, that much I'll say. One time I came into the Kollel and everyone jumped up with such awe, and it turned out someone walked in and told them the story of his life before. There's a person who gives a daf yom, I don't want to give any more details, in Israel, not in Yerushalayim, and when he turned 30 he threw away all of Yiddishkeit, threw away his wife, his children, shacked up with a Muslim woman. This guy's going to shake up. And when he turned 40, he said, "Why am I alive?" And someone told him to hook onto my Sherman, "Why you Torah dialogue." Anyway, to make a long story short, he is publishing a sefer today. He gives a daf yomi. He's remarried to a woman with a Haredi background, etc., etc. So when he told the Kollel the story and how he met me, it's a whole story, it's beyond words. He met me through my grandson. And so everyone stood up and jumped up. So I'll agree, Yoni, that I had influence on one person. Beyond that, let it hang fire. Do me a favor, Tuv, you close the door so we can keep the heat in. And I'm ready to roll. Today is, first of all, it's my mother's yahrzeit today, and I was zeicha. I'm a Litvak, so I have to be honest, more than the Kaddish and the Kalmale and the Aliyah I got this morning, and the Tikkun I gave, that's a Chassidish thing, I'm a Tikkun. But more important than anything to me was I was zeicha l'sayim Masechet Shabbat in memory of my mother. A year ago, I also made a seam, I think it was, obviously it was in Brachot, and this year in Shabbat. Okay. Now, today is Vav Tevet, but it's December 9th, 2013, Monday morning, and once again I'm privileged to say hello to my wonderful students in front of me, and the many students listening across the expanse of the Torah world. Today is a little bit different. It's a press conference, and I'm responding to my own questions. I have to tell you, all the questions I got from you that trouble you were already in the lecture because they trouble me. So it shows me we're living in the same world. I also want to welcome my Rebbe, Maria Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik. He's in every class I give. He's particularly in this class. And a student just told me that the latest issue of Ami comes out, and they say the lonely, I believe it's the cover story, the lonely man of faith is getting lonelier and lonelier. So this morning I want to undo Ami and show them that at least there are some Talmidim of the Rav who remain with him and do not make him lonelier. And I want to begin with Divrei Torah from my Rebbe, which gives me a context to understand answers to all the questions that I'm asking. The first part of the Divrei Torah I've said 1,000 times, I heard it from the Rav 1,000 times, and I'm repeating it because without understanding that, we can't blow our noses properly. Ge'er v'toshav anochi imachem. Until I spoke with my grandson Shabbos Saturday night, I have two grandsons in Bitzalah, but one grandson says about the other grandson, about his first cousin, he attracts fire. I know. So while both of them are walking around Bezalel with Bitipat, it's the second one who attracts fire. So he comes to me with all the questions that his classmates shoot at him. So he asked me, when did all these problems begin? I told him the day that Moshe Mendelssohn left the ghetto was the day when all these problems began. And those of you that have heard, I recorded 3.5 years on Mendelssohn leaving the ghetto. What happens afterwards, I gave it in the kollel. I don't have to add an extra word. I stand on those shayurim. Now, can we go back to the ghetto? The ghetto we think was wonderful, beautiful, no one challenged us. Mim gut gelebt, mim geret Yiddish, and we had Shabbos, we had Kashrut, we had Tarat Mishpacha. We had occasional sinners. Unfortunately, a human being is not perfect. And if you know responsa literature, if you go to Rakefet's classes on Sunday, it's a friend of mine. So, you know, he knows a little bit responsa literature. And when you know responsa literature, you see that there were Jews that robbed, that stole, that killed, that raped, that seduced, that even murdered on her. So they did every crime under the book, but it says that in the Torah, but no one ever changed the Torah. A guy was a murderer, a robber, a thief, a rapist. He said, Al chet shechatati lefanecha, and he didn't change the Torah, and they were a miyut shein anika, in halachic language. Come out of the ghetto, we're out of the ghetto since 1762, let's say 1760, so we're out of the ghetto on to 250 years, and we can't even recognize what's happened to the Jewish people. We've had a spiritual Holocaust. It is beyond words how many Jews have assimilated, how many Jews have intermarried. We deal with Kerry. Kerry's not his real name. His real name is Cohn. And you don't need a better example than Cohn. You deal with Kissinger. The Rav used to rave Kissinger with his German accent, became Secretary of State. And that same Kissinger, raised in a Torah home, his mother were a sheikel, his father, you know, from Washington Heights, confirm what I'm telling these students, I'm not making it up. His mother wore a shirt, I believe his father was the Gabbai, one of the Gabbayim of the Minyanim, and look what's left of his Yiddishkeit. So when we live out of the ghetto, can we go back to the ghetto? If anyone wants to go back to the ghetto, Gesunter Hatren, back to the ghetto, you'll be happy perhaps, you won't be challenged. I personally believe it's impossible to avoid living out of the ghetto today. There's no ghetto anymore, the world is a global village. If I can take part in a Majestic concert with Benzion Schenker in Borough Park a few days ago, what kind of, it's a global village. If I can attend the Shluchim conference sitting in my office in Yerushalayim Mir HaKodesh, if I can attend the Agudat Yisrael convention and get all upset and aggravated, so there's no ghetto anymore, you can't avoid living out of the ghetto. Whether the Rav held lachatchila that we should always run out of the ghetto or try to stay in the ghetto, today we can't help ourselves, we have to be out of the ghetto, that's an interesting question, and I can lecture on it for endless hours. It's not for now. I've lectured, I've spoken about it, people have agreed with me, disagreed with me, but if you know the Rav, there was dialectical tension. At times he was the happiest person to be out of the ghetto, and at times says, what can I do? The times demand that I send my son to Harvard. But you could hear in his voice, halavai, he could send his kid to learn with the Vilna Gaon, or to learn in Volozhin with Reb Chaim Volozhin. And in order to live out of the ghetto, we have to recognize all of us have a dialectical tension within us. On one hand, to quote Shylock, if you cut my, I did my annual blood test yesterday, so when they pierce your hand or your arm, blood comes out. So where blood comes out of our hands, blood comes out of any hands of any communist I dealt with in Russia when I worked for the Mossad. Blood comes out of the hands of any leftist Jew in North Tel Aviv who wants buses on Shabbos, etc., etc. We're all human beings. On that level, we're a toshav. And as I tell another one of my grandsons who's an advanced student in medical school in a very special program in the Technion, I told him, if you don't win a Nobel Prize, all the money they're putting into you is not worth it. And you do something to discover a cure for cancer and change the world. That's a toshav. Then we're a gay. What does it mean we're gay? We're very different. Obama can believe in same-sex marriages. Clinton can, pardon me, can have another woman every day. They can eat chazer, they can eat treif, they can do whatever they want. They have no Shabbos, they have no Sunday. You ever see the way a Gentile observes Sunday? I grew up in a Gentile neighborhood. I had one-third Jewish, one-third Irish, one-third Italian. Most of the Irish and Italian were all Catholics, big Roman Catholic churches, etc., etc. And Sunday was fabulous. They go to Mass. There's a Mass at 8, at 9, at 10, at 11. The whole Mass takes less than an hour. Can you imagine? Then they come home and they have a big dinner and they sit down in front of the TV. They watch the game of the week with beer, with potato chips, with pretzels. A goy left a chazer shetag. A Jew, our Shabbos is totally different. Our kashrut is totally different. You don't know what it's like. Today you can travel all over the world and keep kosher. When I was growing up, when I went to communist Russia, when I worked for the Mossad, you had a plan in advance. You have to eat something. What are you going to read? Baruch Hashem, I can keep the laws of kashrut even in communist Russia. And you have to think, our whole lifestyle is different. Our whole sexual life, our whole relationship to man, woman is different. So in order to live in the big world, the Rav said, Avraham Avinu understood, and this is the key to our survival as Jews and as human beings. Ger v'toshav anochi machem. We live with a dialectical tension. And here I have to tell you, the minute the concept of a toshav contradicts my Torah concept, I totally forget about the toshav. I surrender totally to Torah. This is naseh v'nishma. And this goes one step further with Moriah Rebbe. He gave a talk in the early 70s when all these problems were starting to develop. This is after the Jewish campus kids destroyed the world in the 1960s, locked professors in Columbia University, locked professors into their office, burned research papers. Liberals. I officiated at an unveiling. I was a rabbi, lo aleinu, from 61 to 69. I was a rabbi. All right, I got to encourage you. My wife slaps my face when I encourage. She says, what are you making these young men? You're sacrificing them on the altar. What are you doing to them? But if we don't have rabbis in America, what will be? All right, I have my own plan for rabbis. I'm a Zionist. Everyone has to live here. And when I spoke about it, it's also recorded when I dealt with Israel and Zionism. That's a few years ago. The Rakefet plan, where rabbis come from, how you make them independent, how the state of Israel is involved, etc., etc. Again, it's not for now, but I was in the rabbinate and I had this unveiling. It was right after the Six Day War. And I spoke of pride of what happened in Israel. Little did I know, or little did I understand, I was younger than you are at the time. And the woman at the unveiling was for her father, and the mother was there, and this woman, college graduate, a university, PhD student, she started screaming at me, yelling at me, I'm a murderer, I'm a killer. I killed innocent Arabs with what we do in Israel. Oh my gosh. So you see all these ideas and the sexual revolution and the Rav dealt with it. And he gave an unbelievable talk on Korach. And all of you know, Korach was a Talmud Chacham. Korach had people from the Sanhedrin with him. And Korach Max Moshe Rabbeinu, Talit Shekulo Tchelet. Chayevet betzitzit, yes or no. Bayit malei svarim. Chayav b'mezuzah, yes or no. Right? This was called, what's Korach arguing with Moshe? What's going on here? And the Rav explains so beautifully. Korach was using common sense. Common sense tells us that when you have a beged that is white and you put on one strand of tchelet, you Baruch Hashem, Ayotzei the mitzvah tzitzit. If the beged is entirely tchelet, what do you need tzitzit for? Common sense. If you have a house totally empty of svarim and you put up one little mezuzah, your yotzei the din of mezuzah. If you have a house totally filled with scrolls, how do you need a mezuzah? Korach was using common sense. He was a toshav. This is mercantile, marketplace sense, to quote the Rav, business sense. Moshe Rabbeinu said, this is not common sense, this is a command from God. A talit needs tzitzit, a beged needs tzitzit, and a house needs a mezuzah, and it has nothing to do with common sense. And that's exactly what Rebbe taught us. The minute common sense challenges your Torah concept, I totally waive common sense. I have two masters, I have a doctorate, blah, 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 I don't want to talk. I'm a Western person. I understand science. I have a granddaughter-in-law getting a PhD at Hebrew U in biochemistry today. I don't want to go into any more details. Fine, that's beautiful. That's common sense. That's rational. The minute it contradicts Torah, it totally has nothing to do with me. I said Naseh V'Nishma. I'm a Ben Torah. I have to continue Torah. And this I learned from the Rav. Two drushot that he gave that guides my entire life. Gev etoshav, Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, let me make something clear that I've said from time immemorial in this classroom, in this venue. The world makes a big mistake. When Solomon Schechter came to America in 1902, there was no conservative Judaism. The seminary was organized 1886. I dealt with it 1887. I dealt with it in great length here. It was organized as an Orthodox rabbinical seminary. It was not a yeshiva. It was modeled upon Hildesheimer Rabbinic Seminary in Berlin. There's a difference between a yeshiva and a seminary, but it was a strictly Orthodox institution. By 1902, the place was falling apart. I once visited the seminary in 1902. There were broken windows, memoir literature, broken windows, very few students, and people questioned, what do we need it for? The East Side Jews, there were now a million East Side Jews, they laughed at the seminary graduates. Das ist Arav, a Kenish Lern, and he doesn't know Yiddish. What do we learn all year? One Masechet Megillah. We learned in Europe as kids, 300 daf gemara a year. This is a rabbi who needs him. The Reform said, well, he's too religious for us. He still talks about Shabbos and Kashrut. We don't believe in that. So they were ready to close down the seminary. Cyrus, there was one individual, Jacob Adler, more than anyone else. He was the one who felt we do need. Am I giving the right name, Jacob Adler? Jacob Schiff, thank you. I'm confusing Cyrus Adler with Jacob. Put two names together. Okay, thank you. Jacob Schiff was the one Jew raised on the feet of Reb Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, president of Temple Emmanuel, a man who was a total contradiction. And he said, no, we need to quote him an enlightened orthodoxy. And he put up the money to bring Solomon Schechter to America. And Solomon Schechter, who was famous for having founded the Cairo Geniza, Rav Shneur Zalman Schechter came from a Chabad home, his father was a Sheikhet, and he came to America from Cambridge, and he succeeded. And he put the seminary on the map. Brought in good faculty. Now the children are growing up in America. There's a second generation. There's a third generation. And they are starting to demand reforms. We are Toshavim. Virginia Slims smokes in public. We have to sit behind the partition. What are we, second-rate citizens? The fact that men and women have prayed separately from time immemorial, Oz Yoshim Moshe, B'nai Yisrael, B'teitzei Mirim, V'anashim, V'chulu. Right in the Torah we see we have prayed separately from time immemorial. The Gemara and Sukkot, what went on to establish in the temple that there shouldn't be this hanky-panky. And Baruch Hashem, if there wouldn't be hanky-panky in the world, none of us would be sitting here. Go to my lectures on sex and marriage. It's an open Gemara, an open Medrash. What do you want out of me? Who gets married? You're engaged. Baruch Hashem, you're engaged, my dear. You're engaged. Thank God there's the Yetzer Hara of sex. Otherwise, you would get engaged, she would get engaged. What do you need a wife? What do you have to, they take your money, they spend your money, you get kids, you have kids in the world, the kids, they drive you crazy. Ribbono shel olam, what you'll have out of children, the bills, the shmills. Ribbono, who needs it? No, it's a medrash rabban bereishit. The man wouldn't give him the medrash, says he wouldn't get married, he wouldn't build a house, he wouldn't have a wife, he wouldn't have children. Thank God. God created the world with a certain sexual tension, a certain sexual attraction. But at a time of prayer, that is supposed to be submerged. Look into sanctity of the synagogue and see the Rav's testimony in the famous case of Mount Clemens when they took the machitza. Now, Solomon Shechah didn't lead a rebellion. He didn't hate Judaism, didn't lead a rebellion. But he made the mistake of allowing the pressures of Korach, the pressures of Toshav, to interfere with his being a ger, to interfere with his being Moshe Rabbeinu. And of course, they felt, let's make a little compromise. And this is the way they felt. You can check with your, I had many students whose fathers were conservative rabbis, classmates of mine, people in yeshiva even after me, before me. And these people felt, look, we gotta make a little compromise. If we don't make a little compromise, we'll lose them all together. It's like a kid on a diet, and you don't want the kid to have chocolate. I have a great granddaughter, Chas v'Chalila, I tried to give her chocolate last week at the Sheva Brachas for another grandson. It was in her house, her parents, those grandchildren make Sheva Brachas. Don't give her chocolate. They give her dates. And she's so happy with these dates. They're very sweet. She thinks it's like chocolate. Give me dates instead of chocolate. I'll throw it in your face. It's not that I don't like dates, but chocolate is chocolate. Okay. Give in a little. They thought the future was there. We'll make a little compromise. We'll hold on to them. And gradually, the concept conservative Judaism, and they use conservative Judaism to mean to conserve. Moshe, are you aware of this? To conserve Judaism against the reform. And take a look what came out of conservative Judaism where we're at today. It is beyond words. I have some place on this table where conservative Judaism today, a conservative rabbi, has already proposed, it has to be here, a conservative rabbi has already proposed that the conservative movement should start accepting intermarried couples. Conservative synagogues wrestle with non-Jews in the pews. This is where we're at today. Take a look at this book. A dear Talmud brings me gifts all the time. Serious Torah books, Ger books, and Toshav books. I always get a combination. Whenever he just came back from America, I walk out of my house to go to shul at 5:10 in the morning. It's a big bag outside my door. Three fabulous Torah books and three fabulous baseball books. This is from his earlier trip, like a Bible. Take a look at the size of this. American Jews and America's Game. I read this book from cover to cover. I never was more aggravated in my life. It should be called Former Jews Who Live in America and America's Game. They interview Jews, baseball players, baseball owners. Take a look how many pages we're dealing here with. Not like the size of that best-selling book that I highly recommend by someone I barely know, from Washington to Washington. The book, almost the same size. Not as many good pictures, but almost the same size. You know what this book is about? Every last Jew. Oh no, I'm not Orthodox. I'm conservative. Oh, it doesn't matter to me. I'm intermarried. Yeah. Oh yeah, my son, the Bud Zelig, the commissioner of baseball, has a granddaughter who's being raised as a Lutheran. one after another. I have to say, the only nice part of the book, out of 500 plus pages, two individuals, one a Talmud of the Rav, Joseph Mail, he's one of the owners of the Florida Marlins. He is a frum Jew, 100%. A Talmud of the Rav. And he talks Torah from the Rav in the book. Baruch Hashem, they published it. And the Florida Marlins, in their new stadium, not only have kosher food, they have a shul. Not that you daven outside. In New York, they daven outside the kosher food stands in with the Mets, with the Yankees. In Florida, they have a little shul in the stadium where you daven mincha or maariv, depending upon the time. One other person brought me a lot of nachat, and you know, it brings tears to my eyes. I can't help it, because when I grew up, everyone was running away from Yiddishkeit, and today, intelligent people run to Yiddishkeit. So there's an article here on Murray Chass. I never heard of Murray Chass. I went on Aliyah 45 years ago. He's in the Hall of Fame, New York Times top baseball sports writer. So Murray Chass, yes, I'm not Orthodox, I don't observe a proper Shabbos, I come from fine Jews, but I have a son, Mark, who lives in Israel with many grandchildren of mine, and they are Orthodox Jews. So I don't know who Mark is, but tell him I'm proud of him. That's the one ray of light in the book. He and the part owner of the Marlins. Now, as you know, the conservative movement has gone so far, and even they, those who still hold with some semblance of Torah and Yiddishkeit, admit in 53 with that famous responsum to permit driving to shul on Shabbos, that was the end of halacha, was the end of the conservative movement. I daven every morning with Professor Shaul Liebman's top Talmud, Professor Dov Zlatnik, who's already 89 years old today, knows all Shisha Sidre Mishnah by heart. He's not as big as Professor Liebman. I don't have to tell you who he was, the Chazon Ish's first cousin and what he knew. But the Professor Zlatnik is a zerbrochene Mensch, totally broken. He asked the Lubavitcher Rebbe in the 70s, should I leave JTS? And the Rebbe told him, I'm saying it in English, you fellas don't know Yiddish, you think they know Yiddish, you're in the same group, believe me, the SYs and the J-dubs have something in common, they both don't know Yiddish. But the conversation was in Yiddish. Rebbe, Professor Zlatnik asked the Rebbe, so the Rebbe said to him, the Lubavitcher Rebbe was a great individual, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe said to him, "The lying as Professor Liebman is dotten, du darfst bleiben. As long as Professor Liebman is there, you have to remain." So he's broken today what became of the conservative movement. But you see, nature abhors a vacuum. And you have today, and it's very hurtful to me, because among the leaders are my own students, people who sat with me in this very kollel, in this very classroom, or before, you don't know, in the 80s into the 90s, 70s, 80s into the 90s, we used to meet where the Abraham offices are today, that all was rebuilt. That's where the classroom was. I can show you the ground where I taught. Next door, Nechama Leibovich taught. It was really something. Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein taught. What a faculty, outside of myself, but what a faculty. And nature holds a vacuum. And you see the breakdown that the Gevatoshav are intermingling. The Mechitza is not kept up. Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu are intermingling. And let me take a number of issues that have come up, and I have to tell you, I cry. I pulled that of my archives. 2005, I debated with a student of mine from the early 80s, who's one of the big people in the Chobevei Torah Board of Trustees today, Board of Rabbinic Advisors, whatever they're called, and I wrote an open letter to him. You can take later if anyone wants. And I looked at that letter 9 years later. It is literally primitive. What the problems were then and what the problems have become today. Now let me go one by one. Partnership, what they call partnership minyanim. Partnership minyanim are 100% out of the realm of Torah. During davening, man and woman have to be separate. A woman getting up and leading the services, and even if you tell me there's no kedusha, it's lachadodi, and I'm not an amaretz, I can tell you my rebbeim from Shanghai, one rebbe, Reb Chenich Nishman, said to me, and I quote, I'll never forget this. He said, I have only one regret about what I did in Europe. And I looked at Reb Chenich, Rabbi Reuben, do you remember Reb Chenich Fishman? A Yirat Tzaddik. And he said, I have one regret that I didn't, during Lecha Dodi and Lechuna Ranina, that whole Kabbalistic representation of Kabbalat Shabbat, which is a late addition to the davening, I sat and learned Gemara. I didn't daven, he says. I regret it. At the Kotel, at my minyan, we get in popular language for Kabbalah. Everyone knows our minyan, so we get a lot of black hats that are at the Kotel, want to daven. We're a no-frills minyan, because we have a long walk. Many of us have a long walk home. Anyone who's a tourist and wants something special, we send them to their other minyan. There's the army minyan, there's up front, there's the Breslover minyan, there's the Vishnitsa minyan. You want something exciting, don't daven at Rakefet's minyan. But these, you'll take a look during Lecha Dodi, all these people are not davening. They're gossiping, they're looking at the Pasha sheets, exactly like my Rebbe in Mir. And alright, so you'll say it's not part of davening, there's no Davisha Pekadusha. A woman to get up and lead the davening and lead the Psukei Dezimra, a woman to lay in, to men and women, share the laying, share the aliyot. This is 100%, I use a term my dear student Rabbi Stephen Przanski coined, neoconservatism. And there's no halakhic justification in the world. Rebbe, Maria Rebbe would be hysterical if you asked him this question, and I stand on it. And I challenge anyone to tell me Rav Soloveitchik would have it. Look at sanctity of the synagogue. Now, I said this many years ago. I'm very proud to say I was the first one to say it. Now already a lot of people have said it. Rabbi Lichtenstein, the Tzohar Rabbanim, and I understand that in America shortly coming out is a 200-page essay showing that partnership minyanim are not within the realm of anything that be considered halachic. That's number one, and we can't forget that. Well, some people say, all right, Rakefet is an extremist, he's a Haredi, he's a fan. I've been called every name in the book. I'm so distant from the Haredi world, I'm more distant than anyone in this class, because I have lived here for 45 years. I have seen the Haredi world up close. So no one who knows me, there was once a review done of my writings, people come up here, scholars have to say crazy things. So it was an 80-90 page review in a festive coming out of Bar Ilan, and it was an analysis of Rakefet's published writings. And this professor wants to show I've become more Haredi over the years. What's his proof? My first book was published by JPS, and my second book was published by Feldheim. You understand the reason my second book was published by Feldheim? I didn't have the money. I was, what's the difference? You don't know what the 70s were like after the Yom Kippur War. So it cost me a fortune. There was no email yet. There was no faxes. I had to correspond with JPS. I had to send manuscripts. I had to send corrections. Who had the money? So I found Feldheim. Baruch Hashem, I could go visit him, give him the manuscript, take the manuscript. It didn't cost me a penny. It has nothing to do with Haredi Zatzia. But partnership minyanim? All right, Rakefet may be right, may be right. So now they come up with something else. In the middle of davening, a woman preaches the sermon. And this just happened in a very prestigious Orthodox synagogue on the east side of New York. A friend of mine, who's not a poor guy like Rakefet, He walked out in anger. He went to Or HaChaim afterwards. I want to tell you, in my humble opinion, it is totally forbidden. Davening, your mind is as clear as can be of sexual tension. And in the middle of davening, a woman should get up and preach a sermon? It is frightening to me. What does it mean? Very simple. I was asked the question in front of very erudite people 10 years ago when Rabbi Hartman started, Professor Hartman started that, the Shira Chadashah, his daughter started it. So someone said to me in front of very fine, elegant, wealthy supporters of YU, members of the Board of Trustees, Harav Rakefet, what is halachically wrong with what Hartman is doing? So I said, right to them, on the spot, I said, tell me, I don't want to mention his name, tell me Yitzchak, if you're davening Shira Chadashah, and a 28-year girl with a beautiful voice gets up to lead the services, and she reaches Lachad Odi, did you ever see what a Jew has to be like in Lachad Odi? I'm transported to different worlds. Lachad Odi likrat kala b'nei Shabbat nekabalah. Wow, to say those words, what? It's the last addition to the davening, to the prayers that were accepted by all Jews. It's fascinating. Syrians say it, Ashkenazim say it, Temanim say it. The last addition that everyone accepted. Middash Melech Imelucha. I said these words in 67, right after the war, right after the Wednesday of the liberation of Yerushalayim. Someone ought to teach Bushy Herzog what the heck Yiddishkeit is all about. Wow. Oh, just to mention his name, I'm already sick. Oh. So I said, this 28-year-old girl goes into ecstasy, like you should, and like I should during Lachad Odi. Tell me, Yitzchak, I said to him, are you looking in your siddur or looking at the girl jumping, the woman jumping around? If you're looking at your siddur, you're not a man. If you're looking at the woman jumping around, you're not a Jew. And I said, you want commentary on this? Look into the Rav's testimony in the sanctity of the synagogue in the Mount Clemens case. The Rav was very down to earth. Thank God a man is a man and a woman is a woman. And I'm aware there's a counter reaction here to what has happened in the Haredi world. I understand this, but you have to know what your boundaries are. The Haredi world, you take Mishpacha, called me, they wanted to interview me. I told you, my wife is standing over me yelling and screaming, how dare you talk to them? They don't publish pictures of women. I put down my conditions, they never called me back. Believe me, I knew what I said to my wife, say, I'm smarter than you this time. You wanted me to slam the phone down. I said, fine, I'll be happy to be interviewed. However, these are my conditions. Not to publish pictures of women? It's an affront to any decent, upright male. What, are we sex predators? That we're going to see a picture of the Chafetz Chaim's wife and who knows what's going to happen to us? God have mercy. There are men in the world, there are women in the world. You have to learn how to talk to a man. You have to learn how to talk to a woman. I had Gedolei Yisrael, the Rav, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Chabad, Satma went crazy. They had that picture of the Rebbe giving a woman a dollar bill. They went after the Rebbe. No, they're men and women. They have to be inspired. It's the world. I understand there's a counter-reaction to Haredi Nangishkeit, not to mention a woman's first name. Then we better stop reading Sefer Bereshit. I think we see Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, Tzipora, names all, Noah, all over the Chumash, their names, Dina, Rebbeinu Shalom. I understand that people foam at the mouth. You can foam at the mouth. I don't foam at the mouth. I always want to be positive, but I am proud of the Torah I received from my Rebbe. gevitoshan. But a time of davening is a time of total separation. Period. Homosexuality. One has to rip kriya that the day has come that a Talmud tells me with a straight face, a Rav, an important rabbi, that he's in favor of same-sex marriages. A man lived when the new century came in, BBC. I was listening to BBC. And they interviewed a man who was over 100. And they said to him, his mind was perfect. And they said to him, the interviewer, BBC, what are your comments? What you have seen in these past 100 years, it's a guy speaking. And he said, I never dreamt we would reach a time when human beings who are intelligent can believe a woman can marry a woman and a man can marry a man. And I want to tell you, this is a tragedy beyond words that we have turned homosexuality into a normative expression of human sexual endeavor. And thousands upon thousands of people who are Shomer Shabbos have been swept away by Korach and by Toshav, by the New York Times, by Obama. And as Raketa has said many times, if you're living outside of Israel, you have to head to perhaps to make a living. The only country you can live in today is Russia. You cannot live in the United States. At least in Russia, they still observe the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach. And anyone who knows the Sheva Mitzvah knows that this is one of them. What can I tell you? It's an open Gemara. I quoted it in class months ago. This year, last year, Chulin Sadi Bet Amir Aleph. And the Gemara says there are 30 mitzvot that B'nai Noach accepted. They only keep three. And one of the three, She'ein Kotvin Ktuva L'Zachazim. And Rashi says so beautifully, it's not that they don't have homosexual relations, but they don't glorify it. Thank you. They don't glorify it. I'll give it back to you after I copy it after class. They don't glorify it. They avoid officially condoning. And I want to tell you, what do you think? I haven't had cases with students. First of all, I did a lot of research. People who are naturally born, perhaps, with this homosexual trend that is inborn, it's less than 2% of the animal population and the human population, and research has been done all over the world. But I've had cases, students, I can't go into all the detail, every last case was worked out with help. In other words, you have a kid who's born an overbearing mother. I had that. I had a kid who was the only boy, the youngest kid in a whole family of sisters. I had that. The tragedy today is because we have come along and said it's normative, no one goes for help. And they can arrest you today. Rakefet said a homosexual can be helped. They'll arrest you. The New York Times will file a suit against you. Obama will tell the FBI to listen to your emails, your phone conversations, etc. Just think what I'm saying. Who could believe this? And then one of my Talmidim, a rabbi, a homosexual out in the open in public, has published a book. And God have mercy, he adopted a daughter. And another rabbi, a Talmid of mine, boasts, isn't it wonderful that these two men now have a daughter, not adopted a daughter. I don't know whose sperms, if it's his sperms. Tell me, why don't we demand that men go to mikvah? The women are yelling, the people are yelling, partnership minyanim. Go to mikvah. Men should go to mikvah. Homosexuals, lesbians, who goes to mikvah? Hashem Yirachem. It's a total breakdown of the sanctity of the Jewish people and the Jewish family. Period. Another issue. Again, it's a counter-reaction. I agree. Das Teira. Das Teira. What is Das Teira? I know someone named Rakefid who gave, what was it, half a year of Shayurim showing that there is no such concept as Das Teira. And he's not the only one. Anyone who knows Shas and Paiskim, the only one who has Das Teira is the Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't think my Rebbe gave a more important Hashkafic talk than the talk he gave in the Mizrahi Convention when he spoke about Joseph Yechav. It's published in the Chamesh Drashot. It's worth everyone. If you don't know that Drasha by heart, you can't breathe there. But he said, you can have a machlokes in Hashkafa. But Hashkafa is no halacha. Halacha, the rabbis have to rule. Lo bashamaimhi. We spoke about it yesterday in class. Am I correct? Lo me'edu layamhi. The rabbis have to rule, and what they rule is the halacha, even if they may not be correct. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to bow and say, the halacha is like the Beit Shomata. And you have that in the Gemara, in Bav Metzia, Daf Nuntet, you have it in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, the last two Mishnayot, where they made a, Rabbi Gamliel made a mistake with when Yom Kippur was, and Rabbi Yoshua knew the truth, and Rabbi Yoshua had to go with his stick, get out of his horse and buggy, out of his car, on the day that he believed was Yom Kippur, and go to Rabbi Gamliel and say, the Beis Din is the final authority. It's not ultimate truth that counts, but the Beit Shemala. That's in halacha. Halacha has to be a system that we can live with. It has to do with human reality, with human frailty. But Hashkafa, Yosef and his brothers had a tremendous machlokes, and the Rav turns it into the machlokes of the Mizrahi and the Agudat Yisrael. The brothers were happy with the past. Yosef saw there'd be a different future. We have to prepare for it. When it comes to Hashkafa, you constantly have to look up. Who is right? What does God want? What succeeds? This concept of Das Teira, never reevaluating. So I agree. We now see in Israel what's going on. I can't even repeat it. I speak with people, call me from now, Agudat Yisrael in America is going crazy. How do you raise children to love Yiddishkeit, to love Torah, if Rabbanim Gedolei Yisrael are cursing each other, maledicting each other, yeshivat are splitting, the words that have been used, I can't even repeat. I don't believe in Das Teira, but I believe in Emunat Chachamim. And this becomes a terrible problem today. This counter-reaction, they throw the baby out with the bath water. And I asked one of my Talmidim, one of the big rabbis today, who's so influential, I said, who are your heroes? Who are your heroes? I said, my hero is Rabbi Soloveitchik, it's Mori Rebbe. The older I get, the more I study with him, the more I understand him, the more I comprehend him. When I sat, when the Rav sat here and I sat there and pictures from that era, don't lie, I was a kid, I knew nothing. I didn't understand the Rav. What did I come to? I understood in Gemara when we said a good Rav Chaim, the Rav said a good Chaz, but that I understood. But the depth of the Rav? Today I understand the Rebbe 1,000 times more. You know what he tells me? Rabbi Soloveitchik, that was 50 years ago when he was active. He no longer, times have changed. I'm quoting a very important rabbi today. So who are your heroes? Yitz Greenberg and Duvi Hartman. Yitz Greenberg and Duvi Hartman? Yitz Greenberg published what I heard orally in 1980, that with the Holocaust, the covenant between the Jew and God is abolished. And if you're Reform or conservative or Orthodox, you're doing God a favor that you're doing something. because that covenant is no longer there. Covenant of Bala? And yet Greenberg already, David Hartman, I'll never forget, in the early 70s, he came in Aliyah, he was ashamed of already Montreal, they interviewed him on the radio, and I couldn't believe my ear, not on the radio, on the television, these primitive Israeli television with one channel, early 70s, and he mocked Taret Mishpacha. Then I found out you don't need Rakefet. Ask Rabbi Riskin. Rabbi Riskin tells the story in the mid-60s. Hartman had money, he had Balabatim, he built the Shalom Hartman Center here in memory of his father. He had Balabatim in Montreal. He was charismatic. I write about him. Read Washington. Read about the Hartman I knew in the 50s. And here he is in the 60s. And he invites these thinkers to Montreal. They have a Shabbos, a whole think tank, modern so-called Orthodox people. And Rabbi Riskin, a young Rabbi Riskin of Lincoln Square Synagogue, is eating in Rabbi Hartman's home. And in the middle of the meal, Hartman tells Riskin, "Oh, I chucked Taret Mishpacha, it doesn't speak to me." And Riskin says, "I didn't know whether I could go on eating. I almost choked on the food. If you choke Taret Mishpacha, what is with everything else that goes with Yiddishkeit?" And I have to tell you, this problem, it's a neoconservative movement developing before our eyes. Pluralism. Pluralism, that magic word, pluralism. Let's think what that word means. You take Eli, a Jew, take myself, 50 years, Rabbi David Miller told me the other day, "I'm going to star in a program here. What's going on?" 50 years since I got smicha. I said, "Oh no. It's 53 years since I got smicha." "Ah, the Chag HaSmicha." And it was in 64. So 2014, it's taka 50 years. They're going to honor the guys that still are alive and walking and speaking and talking and thinking 50 years after the Chag HaSmicha. Kanayin Hara. So I'm going to now appear on a platform. Aaron Rakefet got smicha, saw Gedolei Yisrael, spoke and learning with Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu Henkin. I spoke and learning with Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. I spoke and learning with Rabbi Aaron Kotler. I spoke and learning Mori Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik. I spoke and learning Rav Ovadia Yosef. I spoke and learning Rabbi Shlomo Gorenchik. I spoke and learning Rabbi Tzal Zsolti. I can go on. And I'm sitting here. And pluralism. Next to me is sitting a woman, ordination from Hebrew Union College. Her father is Jewish. Her mother is not. Patrilineism. She doesn't believe in God. She's a humanist. And she's a lesbian living with a Catholic partner. There is such a female rabbi with all these citations that I just mentioned. All right, pluralism. So what are you saying to the audience? Take your choice. All right, I understand. I've lectured many times on the Rebbe's viewpoint. The unity of the Jewish people is crucial. But you have to divide between Toshav and Ger, between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. And to invite conservative and reform rabbis who have led the Jewish people to mass assimilation, a spiritual holocaust, into marriage on every level, to invite them into a rabbinic installation of a new president of a new rabbinic school? Is there any way in the world that a Torah Jew can justify that? I'll sit with her and talk about Israel, anti-Semitism, what's going to be in New York now that the leftists have totally taken over the city. If you know what's going on in Crown Heights and the statement that that assemblywoman made, that colored woman, that the Afro-American woman, and the whole debate, is she anti-Semitic or is she telling the truth? She wants you to understand. Fine, I'll sit. To invite her into my house, to my yeshiva, to my home, and hold her up as a representative of Judaism, that can be justified? I can't understand it in 100 million years.
Now, do you carry this forward to Rabbi Mervis going to the Limud conference?
Very good question. I was going to skip it because of the time factor, but I have it right in front of me. Now, Limud has become a tremendous controversy today, and Rabbi Rubin has just touched upon something very fascinating. I refute, Limud means exactly what I told you, reform, conservative, reconstructionist, humanist, all giving lectures under one roof. You can be lecturing in room 101, and in room 102, this female so-called rabbi I just described is giving her lecture. What about Limud? Very hard for me to talk hashkafa. Believe me, next week we're back to Chayei Olam. Ah, next week's Monday lectures, 249,000 shekel linked to dollars linked to the shekel to get into class on the IOU list. Next week I begin Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch. Is that a valuous viewpoint? Oh boy. And how that affects Yeshiva University. And how that affects Ami. Just take a look. Nice, why you kid? On the subway, reading The Lonely Man of Faith. If he understands one word of it, I'll dance a kazatska, believe that. Took me 3 tries. You know where, Charlie, you know when I mastered The Lonely Man of Faith? Basic training. Age of 38. My 3rd or 4th try. Xerox copy. You couldn't get a copy then. And I, every free moment, The Lonely Man of Faith and basic training. When it was over, I was a master of shooting. I won 2 awards, sharp shooting awards, Mupaz, if you know what that means. And I was a master of The Lonely Man of Faith. Has the RCA abandoned the teachings of Rabbi Soloveitchik? Let the word go out to Ami that one RCA member named Darren Rakefet has not, with a capital N. But back here. So Limud in London, it just blew up like an atom bomb. The new chief rabbi, who's a product, I believe, of Kerem Biafna, you can correct me if I'm wrong, it's amazing, because the new chief rabbis of London, of England, and South Africa are both products of the Hesed Yeshivat in Israel, of the foreign students programs. I believe Warren Goldstein studied in the Gush, and I believe Rabbi Mervis studied in KBY. It's a new generation. And by the way, Rabbi Mervis is of South African origins, if I'm not mistaken. And Rabbi Warren Goldstein, who I know personally, is the first chief rabbi of South Africa who was born and bred in South Africa. So Rabbi Mervis went to Limud. Rabbi Sachs refused to go to Limud. Rabbi Kimchi, who's a very important, open-minded English rabbi, the rabbi of Hendon, of a tremendous kehila, it is something to see how many minyanim they have, and they have a base medrash at night. All the kids that come back from Israel who go to university there, many of them will come in Aliyah, but they learn at night in the base medrash. It's a sight to see. It's inspiring. He came out very strongly against Rabbi Mervis. I'll tell you what's very interesting. Yitzchak, you can take this later. Rabbi Yitzchak Adelstein, who's called an enlightened Haredi, that's the way they describe him, a very learned, knowledgeable person, a professor of law, a Talmud Chacham. He has a beautiful article that appeared recently that it could be we have to reconsider our attitude towards Limud. It could be that today the conservative reform know that they are bankrupt. This is what he says essentially. And when you have Torah rabbis speaking, people will come to them to hear the truth. So I have to say, I will not change. I can't. I just can't. I was in the rabbinate. I saw, I write about in Washington. I saw, Yitzchak, I saw the traffic jams going to the conservative temple on Yom Kippur before Ne'ilah. Thousands of, that has to do, please, that's my impression. But if you want to go to Limud, Yitzchak, you're not listening to Jonathan Sachs, didn't go. So in your opinion, so Yitzchak, I will respect your right to agree with Rabbi Adlerstein and gay gesunte hate, but you have to be open-minded enough to know that Rabbi Sachs and a little guy named Rakefed are entitled to a different opinion. So that's Limud, but to invite them into your yeshiva to sit Eben on and to it's insane. I said to the new president of you know where, I said, in the blog it said about you that even a Beis Yaakov girl in seventh grade would understand that this is going to bring the world down on you. And then you complain that everyone attacked you? It's a very delicate question. Now,
but the two of that's connected. Limud is one thing.
No, Zelichud.
And doing the
right. It's another thing. That's what Rabbi Adlerstein says. And I have to say that if Rabbi Adlerstein says it, Rakefet will now say, I always said that. I said Rabbi Lam said to me, look, if I have a chance to teach Torah, I'm going to teach Torah. I don't care what goes on next door. It's a
value.
He
published an article on the importance of observing mitzvahs, and the teachers published by Hebrew Union College. It was distributed to all the Sunday school teachers in the United States associated with the Reform Week.
Right.
His article had tremendous impact.
Right. No, no.
What he was saying was that to be a Jew is only with observances.
Right.
Besides, a man has a wife, and
right,
he doesn't help him with the laundry. He doesn't help him do the sponger. He doesn't help him with the shopping. What
right
kind of relationship is that?
Right.
So we have a rabbinic shabbat, and we don't do observances.
Right.
What's
right
the contact?
Right. No, I understand. There's another point of view, and I bow to it and give it credibility.
They were open enough to have that article there.
Right.
And
I understand.
People are open enough. Have an Orthodox rabbi present his view.
Right, no, I understand what you're saying.
And not go.
Beseda, so you come down on the side of Rabbi Lam. I come down on the side of Rabbi Sachs. But I have my own reasons. I saw things up close that it just frightens me that I'm going to be teaching in one room and next door to me is that lady teaching. But now I want to say something very important and answer your question. And I bounced this off Rabbi Miller. He was, his eyes opened. It's an interesting answer. What do we call Chovevei Torah? And Chovevei Torah is small in numbers, but very large in influence. There are a lot of people with very heavy money who will do anything to see Chovevei Torah conquer the world. All right. What do we call them? Open Orthodox, as they call themselves? Or is it time to say they're neoconservative? And if you say neoconservative, it means breaking ranks 100%. So you asked me, what's my opinion? So I have to tell you, I cannot voice an opinion on a question like this for one simple reason. I don't live in America. And I can voice an opinion on the problems, homosexuality, partnership, minyanim, pluralism, Because these are problems that all of us live with, and what happens in America happens here, what happens here happens in America. Ultimately, it's a global village, and Agudat Yisrael is going crazy at this moment in time. How do we explain to students what so-called great Talmidei Chachamim are calling each other, cursing each other, maledicting each other, breaking down yeshiva, destroying yeshiva? Students are beating up Rashi Yeshiva. Rashi Yeshiva wind up in the hospital. Kids are in jail today in Israel. It's one world. But a decision like this, with all the instant communication, I know everything going on in Israel. Here, I live here, I suffer. I suffer. America, I suffer less because I'm not directly involved. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I want to set up a beis din of three individuals and let them decide. And I chose three individuals. One is my closest friend whom I grew up with. He's my brother's chavruta. I'm a ben bayit in his home. Knew his parents. It's a different world. The other two are my talmidim who are very prominent today, but it happens to be two talmidim whom I retained a relationship for generations now. So I'm going to give you three names, and you set up a beis din and I'll let them decide. One is considered right of center. It's really not right of center. I know him intimately. But all right, he makes pronouncements that are that perhaps portray him a little right of center. One is a centrist, 100%. The other one is a little left of center. He had a microphone on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur in his shul. He wrote a long tshuva explaining the halachic reasons and why. And I have to tell you, halachically, he's on firm ground. Politically, it remains an open question, but he was outside of New York proper. So I'm going to give you the three names. The first name you all know, Rav Heschel Schechter. Rashi Shiva. Gaon Adir. Tremendous mind. Alright, a little bit like Rav Avadya, at times he makes statements that creates controversy. So I go to the Rakefet viewpoint on Avadya, Palginin Dibura. I apply to Rav Heschel as well. But the last machloket over what he said was really not fair, because we grew up hearing that word around us at all times. The Rav used the word. I understand there's some American people in writing in TV who admitted they used the word when they were growing up. It was used, it was accepted. It wasn't used with prejudice. I had not used the word in 40 years, 50 years, but that's for a different reason. My kid brother, I have one brother living here, some of you know him, Dr. Levi Rothkopf, but I have a kid brother who lives in Las Vegas, Stevie Rothkopf. So Stevie was in the army during the Korean War, or the Vietnamese War, I believe. And Stevie was overseas, and Stevie always wore a yarmulke in the army, you know, let alone Shabbat, Kashrut. And Stevie used to tell me, when he got out of the army, he said to me, "You should know, Ani, you should know, a lot of Southerners never saw a Jew before. At times there were nasty comments, and the Afro-Americans used to stand up and say, if anyone says one more syllable about Stevie, I'll beat the hell out of him. We're proud of him. He's a good Jew." And he says, never, ever use that denigrating word. And out of my brother tells me a story like that, I never used the word again. Afro-American, I understand blacks is acceptable, but Afro-American is even nicer. But they jumped on Rabbi Schechter, and I heard the talk via the website. I heard the talk in England. It was taken out of context with such enmity towards him. So I defend. I don't defend. I admit, Palginin Dibura. But I'm not going to throw Rav Avadya out of my classroom because he called me an apikoros for wearing a kippah sruga. His own grandchildren, the children of my student, Rivka, Yosef, wear kippah sruga, Baruch Hashem. This is the shtreimel of our generation, and never forget it. That's exactly what the shtreimel did. It took Judaism to the masses. This took Torah out of the ghetto and made it part of the Israeli scene, Kanayin Hara. The other person on my base then is the president of the Rabbinical Council of America, Lenny Mitanke. Lenny, Rabbi Lenny Mitanke, Chicago, an ace, fabulous young man, not so young anymore. He's a student, married to a student, and I can tell you a good story with Lenny Mitanke between the lines. He once introduced me to his congregation, Harav HaGon. So I told him afterwards, I've heard that title Gon used so many times. To me, when you say someone Harav HaGon, it's Harav HaGon. I said, you can just introduce me, Harav, it's Beseda. A few months later, he needed a source. So he wrote me a letter, and I sent him back the source he wanted, but he writes in the letter, L'chvod Mori Urebi, Harav HaGon HaGadol, he underlines the word Gadol. So that's Lenny Mitanke, solid. And joining the Beis Din is the Vice President, Executive Director of the RCA, my student, Rabbi Mark Drach. And if Rabbi Drach, Mitanke, and Schechter make a decision, I will accept it 100%. Now, let me go one step further. In the State of Israel, on one Monday morning, they called off my classes. It was a disgrace, because two women came specially to hear me. They had listened to me for years on the website, and another Talmud of mine told them, go here, hit Rav Rakepet in person, he's not going to bite you, he's a nice individual, and you'll get to see the human being behind the voice. And those women came that morning, and I couldn't believe it. People told me two women are looking for me, looking for the class, and everyone told them they're no clue. Why did they call off classes? Because that Monday there was the General Assembly. The General Assembly of the Jewish Agency, World Zionists, whatever, all these important people who are supporters of Israel come from America, and some of you participated. And I want to tell you, it's the ultimate chutzpah. They came here from a world where everyone is assimilating and intermarrying without shame. New York Times. And they gave us Musa. We should have pluralism here. We should have homosexual marriages here. The outright chutzpah. Representation without taxation. Pluralism, homosexual marriages, what they women of the world, Sitkaniyat HaOlam, that they should have every right to read the Torah and sing and mock the Haredim and push and shove into their eyes. Do you understand? Go to the Kotel any day, you'll see tremendous Haredi crowds. Suddenly, all right, I have to admit, my viewpoint, let the women stand on their heads as long as they're behind the machitza, I would not get excited. But the Haredim always bite at the bait, you understand? The bait was thrown and they went crazy. And these people came. We should have said to them loud and clear, how dare you give us Musa? We today in Israel have over 2 million Sabbath observing Jews. What do you have in America? Look at the Pooh report. Look at the assimilation. Look at the intermarriage. And we should have turned around and demanded a campaign. The more Shabbos, the more Jews. And I call upon anyone listening in the United States, in Canada, look what they did in South Africa, how much we can learn from South Africa. South Africa has the highest percentage of Jews that is Shomrei Shabbos. It goes up to something like 40%. And it's constantly increasing. And they have total unity in their rabbinate. And they have one central focal hashgacha. and they have no machloikas in public. You can't help privately, Jews are Jews, people are people, toshavim are geirim and geirim are toshavim and torech is Moshe Rabbeinu and Moshe Rabbeinu is, you can't help it. But, and they're from Jews, 90%, I was there. I dealt with all the leaders, I saw, I spoke, 90% are Balei Tshuva. And they just had a Shabbos, remember? That they made a public Shabbos, it was headlines in all the South African newspapers, the television, the radio, every Jew should give Shabbos a chance. And the more observance, if a Jew makes Kiddush, and he acknowledges there's a God, he acknowledges there's continuity, he acknowledges there's a Jewish people, he acknowledges there is a Shabbos, you cannot tell what will come out of it. How much less into marriage? How much less assimilation? Don't use nomenclatures. Don't use labels. I never will use the name Orthodox Jew. There's no such thing as an Orthodox Jew. I am not an Orthodox Jew. Our enemies gave us that name. Narrow-minded. I don't know. Narrow-minded. I know I love Hasidus. I'm a Litvak. I know I love the German Jews. I'm a Litvak. I know I love the Sephardic Jews. We spoke about it in Klein. Remember Yitzchak's question yesterday? Tell me, who is the Rambam? I once had my blood taken, Rechov Turim, a Sephardic technician, and he tells me he learned in Hebron, he always felt second best, he was a Sephardia, I don't use the word he used the word what they called him, I don't use that word. They made me feel, I said, they made you feel, Ezrach Mimadregash Miyat? I said, Mihaya HaRambam, Mihaya HaRif, no? One after another, Mihaya Rab Yaakov Bal HaTurim, Zerah Harash, Mihu Rabbet Yosef, Mihu Rabbaz, Mihu Rabbad, Sephardic Jew, second, I'm not narrow, I'm very narrow-minded when it comes to remaining a Ger and remaining Moshe Rabbeinu, absolutely, but open, don't call me, don't call me. I have students that are members of the Eidah Haredit, read Washington, read the story I write about there. I have students who are Gudistim, some Mizrachistim, I have students who are Chadalistim, whatever you want. Whatever. No one can think alike. That's what Rebbe taught us. The goblet of the creation, that we're all individuals. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with the ability to think. But the framework, I always say, I write this in Washington too, we paint our own individual pictures, but the framework has to be halacha. When you have halacha, we are Moshe Rabbeinu. We are Gerim. We survive in dignity. Now let me come to a very unpleasant topic where I have to tell you in advance, I don't know all the details, but I have to tell you what I believe. It's in the news, and you asked me, and I asked myself, there's a terrible case going on where a great-grandson of Rav Moshe Feinstein refuses to give a divorce. I checked with Rav Heschel Schachter when he was here. I got more details of the case. And I have to tell you, it is very frightening when a man refuses to give a divorce. No one believes in love and marriage more than I do. No one believes in the Rambam, Hilchot Ishit, Perek Tetvav, Halachot Yutet, and Chav more than I do. I spoke about those two Rambams in great detail a number of years ago in the Monday class. When my grandchildren got engaged, and Kananara, I have many grandchildren married now, I just lived through a period that wasn't easy. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, Fader Nachas Tachton Tobin Kayach, Bishvil HaNachat Zkukim Lekoach. We married off three grandchildren in 6-7 weeks. It was not easy. I got walking pneumonia out of it. Plain and simple. The first thing I told them when they got, and lovely girls, first thing I told them, look at the Rambam, see that you understand it, see that she understands it. That's the basis for working out a happy marriage. I am a romanticist. I would like to believe that every marriage can be beautiful. A man is a man, a woman is a woman. If they just work and the marriage is chesed, you help one another. It's beautiful what God gave us. Two strangers. Al kein yazovisha tavid v'imo. V'davak b'ishtova hayul basar echad. I'll tell you something you'll never hear from anyone else. But I'm the only one who knows this outside of the family. Tova Lichtenstein, Dr. Tova Soloveitchik Lichtenstein told me that one of her sons asked Rabaran's mother. Rabaran's mother was a genius. And she wrote Divrei Torah in the Tells, a rabbinic journal in Tells in the 1920s under a boy's pseudonym. Because they wouldn't publish a girl's Divrei Torah. So she published under a pseudonym. That's Rabaran. You think Rabaran was raised on a tree? He had parents, father and mother. The mother was very intelligent. So this grandson asks, Safta, you know so much. What is the most difficult pasuk for you in the Torah? And she answers, Al kein yazovish et aviv imo v'davak b'ishto. Genius answer. A mother raises a child. Bad bitni, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. This child came out of my womb. The Rav's talk on Tanya Soloveitchik's first website will never be equaled. Family redeemed. Look at the talk. The Rav compares a woman, a man. I gave that talk in the Kol, recreated it 30, 40 years ago. What a talk. And yet, Al kein yazovish et aviv imo v'davak b'ishto v'hayu l'basar echad. But I have to tell you, if a marriage breaks up, it breaks up. You have to deal with reality. You can't force the woman to come back to you. You can't hit her over the head. And you're an idiot if you hate her. You'll destroy your life that way. You have to start all over. The marriage can be 101 reasons. And it doesn't mean you're wrong. You can be right. It's a beautiful article by Rabbi Dr. Eliyahu Safran that appeared in Vessel's Knives. Breaking up is hard to do, but we must not have a situation where we marry as B'nai Torah and divorce like terrorists. And I know, Rabbi, I taught his daughter. He's divorced. He said the minute his wife wanted a divorce, he said within 24 hours, she will have the divorce. He beautiful, beautiful article. That took guts for him to write it. I know it's hard to divorce because I have been divorced. But when my Zen wife asked me for a get, I placed it in her hand within a week, and it took me that long only because I could not get an appointment with the Beitin. I presented the get as soon as it was clear that the marriage was over, period. And I want to tell you, Bididi Habiyub, I had a story with a student that I love. But he has faults. And his wife kicked him out after four children. I don't know, right, wrong, no one asked me. Strong woman, Stern College graduate, I gotta give her all the credit. And divorced him. Now he had complaints. And I want to tell you, the Rav who was Masada the get did not use seichel. He wanted to tell the Rav about his complaint. And this rabbi only, no, you have to give the get. Rabbi refused to sit down with him and listen to his complaints. And it was a mistake, because it's good to let someone get it off their chest. And he's debating whether or not to give a get. And I told him, if you don't give a get, it's an insult to your Rebbe, to me. I said, you may be right, but you're going to be left. You're going to be wrong. You're going to create a Chil Hashem, because the feminists are right. A man can walk away, have 100 wives, and a poor wife doesn't get a get. She's left in a good. It's a problem, but I can't do anything about it. This is what the Torah system says. I'm a ger. I can't accept the Toshav thinking. I want to tell you, he gave the get, told off the rabbi. He said, all you're interested in this, I think, was $500 you get for being misad of the get. But my Rebbe in Jerusalem said I have to give the get, and I can't embarrass him, I have to give the get. And he gave the get. But this is what you have to do to hold a woman 2-3 years. And Rav Heschel told me there's money involved, that they're trying to get money. It's a Chil Hashem. And even if the family has the money, so what? What does that money have to do with you? That she comes from a wealthy family? You divorced, pretty much. Whatever it was, you reached an agreement. He gave a civil divorce already in America. You reached an agreement about the property. Please. Ora is correct. And students ask me, well, what they did against the husband, against the father, worked for Art Scroll, demonstrated against Art Scroll. Well, when a person is drowning, they'll do anything to save themselves. I cannot be opposed. If Rabbi Schechter participated in the demonstration, kala kavod. And right now in Israel, you have a case here where it's come Haredi, I was forced to give the get. The Gemara, Makanot Acha Omer Rotsani. The Rambam's psak, the same Rambam that everyone is machmir. No, we can't have an Erev. My class is on Sunday. 16 Amot, 24 feet. The same Rambam. And when the Rambam paskins in Hilchot Geirushin, it's a fabulous Rambam where he explains psychologically that, and he's right, absolutely. Every human being deep down is decent. Learn to be bad. And when you beat the hell out of a guy, you're getting away the bad learning and getting back to the original human being. But you have to give it. Now you have to know. Look, when it comes to human relations, I can tell you there are terrible problems involved. You have to know that the woman is legitimate, that the man really, the marriage is over. There's no way to save it. They have reached an equitable agreement. He has to give a get. Doesn't give a get? You have a right. Makanotach, Merot Sani. In Israel, they have power. This Haredi guy is yelling and screaming, my wife remarried, she's an adulteress, the kids will be mamzerim. Why? Because he was thrown into jail here. So he gave a get to get out of jail. I think that is fabulous that the rabbinate can throw people into jail. My daughter was involved, she testified in the Knesset. What about if you have a guy in jail, he says, I don't give a damn about my ex-wife. Let her rot, let her go, etc., etc. I never had it so good. I have a bed to sleep on, and I have 3 meals a day in jail, and they're even kosher. You know what the law reads today? This law was just changed a few years ago. The rabbinate are the only ones outside of certain Shabbos, Shevet, outside of the certain jailers of high rank, that you throw the person from jail into solitary confinement. There were 2 cases. They both gave a get, one within 24 hours and one within 48 hours. But I think this is fabulous, a credit to Israel. But you ask me about America, it is very frightening. And if Rav Schechter participated in the demonstration, you have to give him all the credit in the world. Everyone criticizes him. He's right wing. But in the meantime, when it comes to women's issues, I don't know of anyone who has been more meiser nefesh to help poor women who were caught up with husbands who don't deserve the title of human beings. And let me go one step further. Mitzitza b'peh. I don't know if you're aware, Mitzitza B'peh became a major, major controversy now. Look at Rabbi Moshe Meiselman's new book that just came out. And if you can figure out what he is saying, you are smarter than all the rebbeim in Torah Shraga. Sheer, absolute double talk. But in the blogs, my name got involved. How my name got involved? I got a call, an innocent call. Rebbe, we're students of yours. We listen to all your shir, and we think you're blah, 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 blah. We think you're great. Okay, nice. Everyone compliments. Whenever anyone compliments me, I know they want something. Well, my best friend just had a son, and he wants to do the Brit, but we know you're opposed to Mitzitza B'peh, and Rabbi Soloveitchik. He doesn't want to do Mitzitza at all. As I said, I don't know, why do you abolish mitzitza? The Gemara says you should do mitzitza, health reasons. It's not true, it doesn't affect the Brit Mila, but you do it with a little tube, it's fine, you accomplish everything and there's no danger. So I didn't realize they were trying to find out Rabbi Soloveitchik's opinion, and there's a whole machleket now, whether the Rav totally abolished Mitzitza B'peh, like the Stei Chemet has an opinion like that, or whether He meant you do it with a little glass tube. I think it's called a pipette, if I'm pronouncing it right. And if you can correct me, please. And you do it. So I have to tell you, I stand, and by the way, Rav Shechter has both opinions. In his first edition of his volumes about the Rav, he wrote that the Rav is opposed to Metzitza B'peh. In the new edition, I think it's called Nefesh HaRav, the first volume, he added an asterisk at the bottom that he hears that the Rav was not opposed to Metzitza per se, but only Metzitza B'peh. But I want to make clear that I go with the viewpoint, why abolish something Chazal said, but you can do it in a way that's healthy and doesn't raise any danger to the child. I totally, completely disagree with the Hasidim. I come down on the side of the Chatam Sofer, the side of Rav Shimshon Paul Hirsch, the side of Rav Shlomo Yosef Alyoshev last year. A kid would come to my class from Torah Shraga, he said, it can't be my Rebbe in Torah Shraga, said, well, Yosef couldn't have said this. So I went down to the Beis Medrash, I photographed it for him, I Xeroxed it, and I become a hero, you understand? The man tells the truth today, he's a hero. I come down on the side of Mori Rebbe, Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, on the side of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, on the side of Rav David Feinstein, on the side of Rav Chaim Briska. Alright, do the mitzvahs in a way that chas v'chalila, it will not endanger the child. And finally, a topic that I could talk on for hours, but what can we say? Time does not allow. But I'm very proud to say that Aaron Rakefet is either the biggest fool in this room or the youngest person in this room. Referring to the Gemara in Baba Batra, gentlemen, I am a prophet. The world is changing. I dance for joy. One of my families is very active in the army. My son-in-law was in for 20 years, still in defense, high-ranking officer. So far in that family, 4 sons have already served in the army, etc., etc. Other families have other sons on active service, but that family gets B'machaneh, and everyone reads it. And if I recall, Aaron Rakefet said in class that the sands are shifting in Israel, and I called upon the people listening over the world, what we have to do is build mikvot in every army base so that a Hasidic young man, a Hasidic young man in the army who goes to mikveh every day for Takanit Ezra, the Gemara Brachot, should have a mikveh to go to, not have to go from Srifim to Rishon Lezion. I have to tell you, sadly, no one in the world took up the challenge of getting in touch with me. Rabbi Rakefet, how much will it cost to build a mikvah? Give us a figure, and we will sponsor it or raise the sum very proudly. In last week's B'machaneh, I had a Xerox because I have to pass the B'machaneh down to another family of mine, screaming headlines, B'karov, mikvah in Srifin, and a beautiful article that a mikveh tahara is being built in Srifin so that the Hasidic soldiers will have where to be toivel every morning. And I say to you, Ashrei ayin ra'at hazot, the Ashrei ozen shema'at zot, that the most powerful per capita army in the world is not only kosher and not only Sabbath observing, but is now starting and has mikvot ready for women. The big Air Force base down south, they built a $100,000 mikvah, but that was in doubt. That was for women. Is now building. Tzrifin is a city unto itself. That's how big that base is. There now will be a mikvah tahara in addition to everything else that there is on that base. Halvai Ben Gurion rubbed the dust off his eyes to see what has happened, and I say this positively, because it was Ben Gurion's speech in the Knesset in 49, when there was, I spoke about this in class years ago, and I spoke about Zionism in the Monday class, it's all recorded. There was that tremendous debate, do we have one army, or do we have two different armies. One, like the Palmach, Plugot Atiyot, but don't interfere with the regular army. They can eat pigs, they can eat rabbits. You're religious, few religious nuts, you have your separate units. And Ben Gurion made that famous speech, where one people, one army, and on the Chagorah, on the belt that we will wear, every army belt has room for a grenade, has room for bullets, a gun, a canteen. On our belt of Tzva Hagana Yisrael, there'll be room for tefillin for those who want it. I'm quoting him word by word. Ashreinu, shezachinu, that Baruch Hashem, a mikveh tahara in Srifin. So let me reiterate and let me conclude. A lot is happening, and my grandson also, who at Bezalel, many of these questions he asked me. And I've given him answers, and answers that he can give his buddies, his friends, his acquaintances. And he's a bright kid, you can't fool him. And Baruch Hashem, he's accepted many of my answers. L'halacha u'lema'aseh. Life is not static. The challenge of Ger V'Toshav, Korach, and Moshe Rabbeinu is here to stay. I don't believe we can go back to the ghetto. I don't believe even B'nai Brak or Me'er Sharim, they have a ghetto today. They're shifting sands. And every day there's a new development. That's healthy. That's natural. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world. But if we understand who we are, where we're coming from, and what our vision is for the future, we will succeed. L'kavad u'l'tiferet. And I want to end off with the Gemara, Masechet Shabbat, that I was zeichel l'sayim this morning, as I told you. Chaval, you weren't there. I'll tell you why. You would have learned how to make a siyum. In the sense, here I have a minyan that everyone is in a rush to get to work. It's a 5:30 minyan. There are reasons why. And I told the Magid Shir, my neighbor, my dear friend, Dr. Sam Dershowitz, I said to Sam, my siyum will take exactly as long as the Mishnayot you teach every day. So now at the end of Shabbos, you have a problem. What are you going to do? Explain the whole thing. It ends with Medidah, taking measurements. So I simply opened the Rambam, Perek Kaftal at Halach Aleph, read it, that there's a concept of Masachol. And I said, this is why we can't take measurements on Shabbos, but L'dva Mitzvah we can. And then I read, look at the end of the Gemara. It was perfect. With that introduction, the end of the Gemara was like a glove on a hand. And then I said, you know, and I only paused for 1 second to explain the Lama Nachnu Maskirim et Kol HaBanim Shel Rav Papa Ki Kulam Hayu Gedol HaYisrael Kulam Hayu Tamidei Chacham V'Zeh Davar Nadir Shemi Mishpacha Achat Kol HaYeladim Yotzim Kacha. And we made the Siyum, and I want to quote from Masechet Shabbos Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, my mother's memory. Gemara asks, Eiza Ben Olam Haba, who is a son of the future world? And one answer, one of the answers, Zer HaDerech L'Hu Shekol Shedat Rabbanoteinu Nocham Mimenu. That one of the answers, that you live your life, that your Rebbe's would have nachat, would agree with you. And I want to say, the shir I gave today, I hope is, Rat Hashem, I hope that all my Rebbeim, and I was privileged to be exposed to so many Gedolei HaTorah, that all my Rebbeim, particularly Mori Rebbe, Rebbe Hamufak, Rebbe Yosef Tov HaLevi Soloveitchik, would put their hands on my shoulders and say Yashikayach. And this is the test, the litmus test. Am I a good Jew? Or chas v'chalila, am I veering off the path? And if you can say and feel, Rebbe, I'm listening to you, and I'm following you 100%. I'm a ger and a toshav, a Korach and a Moshe Rabbeinu. And Rebbe, you taught me how to balance out the two. this is the greatest compliment. You are a Ben Olam Haba. Thank you very much. Let me give out the freebies and try to clear my desk. All these papers, if you're interested, are available except for the Ami, which I have to return. Anyone who needs a bencher, anyone in Torah Shraga, when you eat, benches for the keeping. Chaim Meiselman sent me an interview with a lady from Shanghai describing the Shanghai Rebbeim, a young lady then, and it's not very profound, but it's interesting. This is a review of Professor Halivni Weiss's latest book. This sent to me by Chaim Meiselman on Dabar Asaf. I have the Hebrew book. I read it years ago. The original. This is the grandson of Simcha Asaf. The volume is now in English. It's of Hasidic Rebbeim who had children who spat in their face. And, you know, this is Freud. It happens. Finally, anyone here who is female, who has a wife, these are copies of Nashim, which I'm so impressed with. These are books put out for ladies, like a glossy lady magazine, where Tzniut, Shabbat, Kashrut, and everything we believe in is observed. By the way, some of the articles are worth reading, even for the male species. Until we meet again next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, in health and happiness, Das V'danya.
This book also.
Where's the
what? This book also. You want the book? Be my guest. But don't leave it in here. Grab the paper.